It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
You can knock me down, watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
All right, welcome to Speak Out for Monday. It's September 20th, 2021. Jim's going to tell us how amazing it is that it's already September 20th.
Isn't that the truth? How'd you know?
I know, I know my broadcast partner.
That's right.
Like nobody. Like nobody
I
else.
I beg your pardon.
Well, I'm unmarried, so that makes you the closest thing to my spouse right now, right?
That's a frightening thought.
Yes, it is.
Don't say that on the air, Paul.
Oh, okay. I'll keep that one to myself.
Make it our secret.
Uh-oh.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
That's right.
Nice. Nice. See, that diversity training really paid off for you. All right. This is what do you call this day, Jim?
I call it Monday.
No, en español.
Oh, sí, el día de los dos jefes.
The two chiefs, yes.
Sí.
Yeah. All right. What was it? De la dos?
I don't know. It's different every time we come in.
I know. What are you going to do, right? So... I'm going to lead off with something Chief Doyle really doesn't want to talk about, but it's just amazing in my book. The first win since 1932 for the NAU Lumberjacks football team against U of A. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
I mean, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
That's my whole thing. It isn't the win by NAU. It's that UNLV could probably beat U of A right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I think about anybody could beat them right now.
I mean, they were title contenders or in the top five, conversation when Rich Rod was there, right? Rich Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And now they're just like, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they got some issues.
21-19, the Jacks over the Cats. So,
well, hey, Arizona's happy.
Arizona not doing much bearing down lately, I guess. Just how what's going on there. Anyway, football-wise tonight, the Ravens at... Oh, I'm sorry. The Lions at the Packers. I always get this mixed up because I do the list, right? The sports schedule. And the new one, the Monday night game's right here, but the old one, the Monday night game's right here.
Ah.
As I point to the bottom of the list.
Hold that up to the microphone for
the viewers.
Yeah, thanks. To borrow a line from Larry Tuneforth,
this
right?
is your first day on the air.
Yeah, it feels like it. Thanks, Jim. All right.
You're welcome.
You got 20 years on me.
That's right.
All right. So, Lions at Packers tonight, 4:30 on the sports station, 94.3, 100.5, and 980 AM. KNTR Sports, welcome to the team. Havasu Fighting Knights football. They had a bye last week. How does that work? You get a bye in high school?
Yeah, I think their schedule's just messed up.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got like three or four home or away games in a row starting this week at Glendale. No, I'm sorry. It's Glendale this week, then the Golden Shovel at Havasu, and then three road games.
Yeah.
And then they finish up two at home, I think. So, anyway, the Glendale Cardinals and the Fighting Knights this Friday night at 7, And Steve Greeley and Bill Beckman will have that game from Glendale. So that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Steve will be back on the air. You ever heard him call a game?
Yeah.
Does a great job.
Yeah, he is very good at it.
Does a great job. Yeah. So, all right.
I mean,
so,
you have to say that because you work for him, but I don't. So I can honestly say he does a great job.
Oh, he asked me, and I'm like, yeah, I don't do play-by-play like that. I can do TV play-by-play.
Yeah.
Radio's a whole different story.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Chief Dan Doyle is here doing the color commentary. Police Chief for the Lake Havasu City Police Department and Fire Chief Pete Palafis.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you. And he had a great musical suggestion this morning, so I'm going to follow up on that. But I got something for you guys, for you two young...
De los dos...
Dos jefes with dos guns, all right? Because you both have guns, all right? So this is the flyer that I'm holding up for the London Bridge Arm Wrestling Contest, Saturday, October 9th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., I think you guys would be a great matchup.
Well, actually, Chief was a junior national champion.
Midwest region.
Yeah.
Wow.
The New Guinea national champion.
New Guinea. So this is being hosted by the Flying X Saloon, of course, here in Lake Havasu City as we're celebrating 50 years of the London Bridge from 71 to 2001. And there are men and women, lightweight, middleweight, heavyweight. Pre-registration is required. You can go to our sports website, kntrsports.com. There's the form there. You fill it out. Actually, you print it, fill it out, take it to the X, and then pay on the day of the event. $20 per contestant at the event. And free general admission for people who want to watch. Yeah. Proceeds go to local charities. And I just think if we could have a celebrity challenge.
Yes.
Or a public servant challenge. You guys are natural right there.
Hey, this guy beat me at an arm wrestling.
We got
no.
You guys do that at lunch or what?
But, no, usually when we're done.
But Chief, you have a gun.
Huh? That's true. Well, I kind of do like Sylvester Stallone. Remember that movie Over the Top? Yeah. I just turned my hat around backwards. And
no, seriously, yeah. Dan De Los Santos contacted this national sanctioning body or something. And they're going to provide the rules and a referee. We've got two regulation tables so that, you know, you can't have your elbow up when you're pinning somebody, things like that.
Yeah, because I only arm wrestle on regulation tables.
Yeah, of course. You know. Yeah. Of course.
I'm sure there's...
And you deserve that as a police chief. So
that,
there
that
you
actually
go.
Would be fun to go watch. So.
I'm sure there's no beer stains on the official tables.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to watch. You're going to participate. Somebody's got to put you up as a contestant.
Yeah,
I have a feeling.
Like a tennis elbow.
Or it could be like you against maybe Cal Sheehy or something. Would that be fair?
I don't know. Cal's probably a sleeper. He probably
Right. So, all right, getting into the serious stuff. We've had a recent rash of catalytic converter thefts in town. And when I first saw this was, I don't know, a few months ago I saw that this was happening. I'm like, I would challenge anybody to get under my car, number one. It's pretty low to the ground. And the one I had before this is fairly lower to the ground. But, I mean, how do you pull this off? This is a noisy process to cut through exhaust pipes and stuff, isn't it?
They're pretty quick at it. And typically they're picking unattended places. I mean, you know, late at night, nobody's around. Vehicles that are parked left overnight at businesses. They're, you know, not necessarily always laying in your driveway cutting them out. But, it's something that's been going on in the country for quite some time. And now we're actually seeing it here. They're going after the catalytic converters because some of the rare minerals that are inside it. I guess it has platinum, palladium, and rhodium.
Right.
That's in it, and they cut them out and take them and recycle them for those precious metals.
Metals that are worth a fortune by the ounce, right?
Yeah.
And they just resell the stolen converter for a few hundred bucks.
Right.
And the replacement is...
Somebody's got to extract all that from it.
Sure.
But yeah, there's some money. And interestingly, from everything I've read about it, it's the older vehicles have more of these rare minerals in them than some of the newer ones. So, yeah, there you got to be careful where you're leaving your vehicle. And, I mean, obviously, when you put it in a garage at night, that's the best thing to do, or have a camera up or keep it in a well-lit area. But if you leave your vehicle parked overnight at a business...
Expected to be noisy in the morning.
And some people don't even realize.
Hang on, guys. We got a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Oh, is this my live on it?
Yes, you're live.
Hi, I didn't know that. It's first time calling. Thanks.
Oh, no problem.
So want to say hi to you guys, the chief. I used to work with the chief. It's not, do I have to talk about the Cadillac Converse, or can I ask something else?
It's an open topic. The show's dedicated to the listener.
Great.
You can bring up whatever you like. As long as you don't criticize the host or the co-host.
Okay. Hey, one thing I wanted to bring up is, can you shoot them on sight if you catch them trying to take your Cadillac Converter?
It's not a bad, you know, that's not a bad question, because if they're on your property, doesn't the king is your castle law or king of the castle law apply here?
Yeah, if you're, if
well,
you're,
it's
no, I'm asking the chief,
possible.
Sir.
It's possible.
Hang on.
No, I, you know, my recommendation would be you use a firearm to defend yourself if somebody's pulling a catalytic converter off your vehicle and trying to run away from you or something. I'd say no, don't shoot them.
A Sawzall is not a deadly weapon.
Yeah, you know, to shoot somebody, definitely you're defending yourself or you're defending somebody else, is what I would say to stick to.
Good.
But definitely, I mean, there's no problem with holding them at gunpoint until we get there.
There you
but,
go.
But I would recommend not shooting them if they're not threatening you in any way, shape, or form.
Good. So if they're threatening, if they take the catalytic converter and attempt to swing it at you, then it's probably okay to shoot.
Well, you know, self-defense, you have to defend yourself. But,
wow.
You know, I don't necessarily recommend shooting somebody for stealing a catalytic converter.
Especially not in city limits.
We've suddenly turned into a comedy show here. From public affairs to comedy.
Yeah, I would say give us a call and let us handle it.
Did you have another question?
Yes. I made a recent call, and the deputies responded really great. Two calls. I'll just go over one of them. It was a theft in abandoned property, and there were shopping carts, and I thought I was a victim. Dispatcher said I'm not a victim, but the reason I thought I was a victim because it makes the neighborhood look trashy.
Okay.
And I guess the problem is the stores don't report the crime, they just let it go. So the officer said, you know, if I want to, without going on their property, I could probably get it and return it to the place, but I did post a website, if anybody needs shopping carts, I'll go to the store and pick up however many they need and drop them off free of charge.
Okay, don't steal shopping carts.
No, I think he's saying he'll pick them up from the abandoned ones and take them back. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Or take them to whoever wants them to hang out, play with them, or you know, use them for whatever.
So he wasn't saying that.
No.
Don't a lot of the shopping carts, though, they lock up if they're taking a certain distance from the store?
What, only like they have a computer in there.
Yeah, there are carts to do that, right, Chief?
Yeah, they're in the Midwest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no, they have them
there,
too.
Do have them.
Yeah,
I haven't seen one.
Self-driving shopping carts?
No. They have
OnStar for the shopping cart?
Yeah, it's an electronic device that, locks up the wheel when it's taken a certain distance from the store.
I'm not aware that any has. And part of the problem that our grocery stores have is it's not that they don't care that people take their shopping carts, but when you go and you look at our, like, say, Smith's, and you look at how many shopping carts they have, and people leave them all over the parking lot, it's very hard for them to track that somebody somebody heads down the street and they're missing, you know, 10 shopping carts at the end of the day.
And, Paul, perhaps you're thinking that they are inactivated by being removed a certain distance. I think the wheels just wear out and that they no longer push.
This is a real thing. I believe they're active in Bullhead, too, but maybe not here. I don't know.
I haven't seen
one here, but... Paul, you are.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
One more comment. And,
all right.
Then I got to run. It's a public service announcement.
It's a trifecta.
You can do that. I'm the Veterans Service Officer at the VFW.
All right.
My name is Gary Civil. If you know anybody, veterans are in need of anything, have them contact the VFW.
All right.
Also, some of the programs I'm trying to set up is a free fitness expo at Titan Fitness class in Havasu here, designed for veterans and their families to help them get fit. I've seen a couple of them. I helped one in the Elks the other day that fell, and he was probably near death, passed out. I'm just trying to get these veterans healthier so they can make it to their cars okay.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, thank you for your service, Gary. That's great stuff that you're doing for the veterans, man.
Appreciate that.
Thank you, Chief. All right, that's all I got. You guys have a great day.
All right, you too.
Thanks for the call.
Take care, man.
All right, perfect time for a break.
Yes.
I wasn't ready for all that.
What music do we have lined up?
Well, we have Bob Seger, of course, for the veteran chief, if you will, right?
Yes. I was looking at what context.
What do you call that in the Senate? You have the senior senator and the junior senator. So we have the senior chief and the junior chief, I think.
No, we're
plus he's younger.
We're just chiefs. Yeah, that is. That's the plus. That's the plus.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Go out with some Bob Seger for Chief Dan Doyle. We also have Chief People Office in the house. And, of course, Brother Jim Russell. I'm Paul Lavoie. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back to Speak Out. That's our big surprise music.
Very good.
Thank you. Well, thank Chief Pete over here.
Yeah, Chief Pete's idea. Good music.
Great suggestion. Where did that come from? Where did the request come from?
You know what? Actually, the request came from when my daughter and I were watching a documentary on Havasu, and this was the background music for it, and then we just kept on listening to it and driving around, and it was just very pertinent to Havasu in the area that we're in.
Neat, no kidding.
Need to associate that with Havasu.
I was just thinking.
Does Black Cat X do this?
No, but we will be in the desert at a bar with no name.
Nice.
Yeah. The desert bar. We're going to open the season on October 2nd and 3rd, which is a Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
I'm gonna be at the beach then.
At the desert bar. So pray for our truck tires that day, because that road is not getting any more forgiving, let me tell you. Speak Out brought to you in part by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, also Mojave Mortgage, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, Horizon Community Bank, and our newest sponsor, Thane O'Brien, was Spot On. It's a company that helps with credit card transactions for any size business. Call Thane at 928-706-2784 or send an email to tobryan@spoton.com. T. O'Brien with an E at spoton.com. Hey, guys, we got a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And that shopping cart thing that you were talking about, what they do is they bury a cable around the perimeter of where they want to keep them in, and then they have the radio frequency device on the wheel of the shopping cart, and as soon as it crosses that wire, it locks.
Boom.
There it is.
Okay.
That's one right. Other, boom. There it is.
Yeah. One other thing.
Shaka-laka, shaka.
Nice.
Sprinkles.
I love that part.
Okay, anyway, Is there a black market for those minerals that are in the catalytic converters? Otherwise, I would think that any legal recycling place would know what it was and would not accept it.
Yeah, no, there definitely is a black market for it. They got places that they fence them. So most our recycling places in town have always been very good with us, because you remember years ago we had. People were stripping the wiring out of houses under construction to get the copper.
Wow.
And we work very closely with our local recycling places on that. But you can take that stuff and you can go up to major metropolitan areas and find somebody that will fence it for you.
Well, then I have a solution to the problem.
All right. I'm all ears.
I like solutions.
Everybody go lowrider.
That's right.
Well, Paul already does.
Okay. Hey, thanks, guys. I'm glad to listen to you.
Hey, thanks for the
call. Right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
So one of the victims, though, was a charity here in town, the food bank.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Yeah. You're going to be that low to sneak into a parking lot at whatever hour of the morning,
yeah, but
get
I mean,
under their delivery van, so, and steal a catalytic converter.
Yeah, so these are people that crawl under people's cars and saw their
yeah,
you know,
great opportunity.
So I don't think there's a moral high ground there anywhere. Yeah.
No, there really isn't. And like when I worked for the Boys and Girls Club, we had our gas lines cut in two vehicles to drain the gas from both vehicles.
Yeah. I mean, people will steal things from a church. I mean, you know, if that doesn't bother you, then...
Right, right.
So, yeah, there's not a lot of ethics and integrity going on there.
Well, that's a great segue, because talking about ethics and integrity, this TikTok challenge. This is unbelievable that people are encouraging students to, you know, one up themselves and steal something from the school and post it online
and video it. Yeah, no, this is, and I don't know if I'm half outraged and half saddened,
right,
that this is what we've come to. But yeah, there's a TikTok challenge, and you've seen, you know, you hear the Tide Pod challenge and these various challenges they do, and the current one now was to go into your school and steal something from the school. So, you know, they're leaving it to their imagination on what they're stealing from the school, and then they videotape themselves stealing it and put it on TikTok. Luckily, they get turned in by other students that see the TikTok video and have some luck there. But just the fact of,
yeah,
you know,
what happened to our morals?
Yeah, yeah.
Respect.
No, I think that there's, you know, the good news is there's a lot of students out there, and there's a lot of young people out there that think this is as dumb as we do. I've talked to a number of the kids, you know, and they've expressed the same thing that we're talking about right here, that it's stupid. And you're seeing them get turned in by other students that are saying, hey, they went in and stole this from the school, and it's up on their video, and that's a big help. But, yeah, there's plenty of young people out there that think it's just as dumb as we do.
Do we have some incidents of that have made it to your department?
Yeah, we've had a few. The school's been handling it and doing a pretty good job with it.
Are we only talking about the high school?
You know, I'd have to check. I know we've had it's been more apparent at the high school of this going on, but I'm not sure about Thunderbolt. I'd have to talk to the school resource officers and kind of see where we're at there. But yeah, just another one of the dumb things, like when they challenged, you know, people to eat Tide Pods.
Right.
Like somehow if TikTok challenges you to do something, you have to do it.
The reason I ask about the other schools is because Bullhead City Elementary School District put out a press release about this, warning parents, stay active in your child's life, stay active with their social media and that sort of thing. What are the penalties that police can impose on a juvenile?
It's theft. You'll be referred for theft. You'll have to go through juvenile probation.
Parents pay for counseling?
You have to go through all that. You know, you get in, they mandate counseling, community service, and then you've got a probation officer for a year or so, typically a year with juveniles, but still, it's a lot of hoops to jump through for something as right, ridiculous as that. So hopefully parents are talking to their kids and about this and reminding them that, well, number one, you don't steal.
Yeah.
You know, it starts off with...
or break stuff that isn't yours.
Yeah. If it's not yours, if you didn't pay for it and someone didn't give it to you, then it's not yours.
Yeah, leave it where it was.
Leave it where it was.
And that's a good point, because somebody's eventually going to pay for this.
Mm-hmm.
Are the parents liable for any of this?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, so basically, it's if restitution has to be paid, well, if it's a, you know, 10-year-old or a 12-year-old or something, and you know they steal or damage something that's say worth $1,000. Well, yeah, highly unlikely that 10-year-old, the parents are going to have to pay it. So, but you know the bottom line is
the kid's going to have to pay it with his proceeds from his catalytic converter thefts.
Well, if you're
those
pulling,
are the future catalytic converter.
Yeah,
but if you're pulling mirrors out of the wall or sinks
damage,
or whatever it is, I mean you should see some of the damage in Bullhead.
Yeah. Oh,
you know. It's a little bit more than $1,000 when you're talking about. You have school age children, Chief Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing about this stuff?
Yeah, you know, my daughter mentioned it to me about, I want to say, last week. And you know, now they're restricting their time to go to the bathroom, you know. And
there you go.
But there's always a consequence. And I think, I mean, to piggyback off Dan, it's sad that we're so influenced by other people doing bad things in society that, you know, instead of watching TikTok, maybe just open up a book, you know.
Yeah.
But there's just so much, the social media is just, I don't know, it's not brainwashing them, but it's just so readily available. And as parents, you know, we have to be just diligent and put away the electronic babysitter. And I'm at fault for it sometimes, too. It's just right. So easy to do it that way, but you really have to monitor what they're watching.
Well, my commentary on the issue is there's reading, writing, arithmetic, respect, and responsibility. Mm-hmm. All right, let's teach those other two R's in right. The home.
And the problem is that social media with the younger kids does brainwash them. They're inundated with this stuff, and that's what they do is look at what teenagers and even younger do. They sit around their phones all the time, so they're watching YouTube videos, TikTok videos, mm-hmm. and so they're inundated with this stuff all day long, and that's the responsibility of parents to get on top of that and say, you know, instill those morals, ethics, and values into their kids so that they're not influenced by a video that says, hey, go commit theft.
Right, exactly. All right, and don't eat Tide Pods, by the way.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, like I've never looked at one and thought that looks delicious. Yeah. But nor have I ever been curious about eating my laundry detergent.
Not even if it's wrapped in bacon, huh?
Yeah.
Gotta draw the line somewhere.
No, I am a bacon. I actually love bacon. Right. Like, who doesn't, right?
Right.
My favorite is bacon, wrapped bacon. But,
nice.
You know. Yeah.
Nice. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul LaVoie along with Brother Jim Russell and the Dos Jefes.
Si.
Municipales, right? Or whatever we want to call them. All right.
Federales.
Whoa. Chief Dan Doyle and Chief People Office. Didn't you learn anything when we talked about the federal police force?
Yeah.
Come on, Jim.
Not federal.
All right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us. We're going to see how far off the rails we can go after this.
Are stronger than moonshine. You're gonna go.
We're back on Speak Out with the Dia de los Dos Jefes. Hey, I got it right, Jim.
Si, you did.
The two chiefs.
Si.
That's why when you put the los dos, it kind of threw me off. But I got this. I know enough from a Corona bottle that I can speak a little Spanish. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Connected Computer and Technology. Also, Mojave Community College, GDK CPA LLC, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, SunPower by Esme Electric, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty, Bobby and Julie Lewis, Brian Besley, and Lori Rule.
They're good folks all that just want a shot at your business, so give them a try when you do. Tell them you heard about them on Speak Out.
All right, we're on a one-show streak. Jim took the cue.
took
the cue. Right?
Wasn't easy.
People are listening for that now, Jim. They call you Jim Q. Russell.
Smooth
Jim Russell.
Yeah.
Is that it? What is it? Cerveza La Más Fina. Is that it?
Yeah.
On the Corona bottle.
Yeah, I think.
Cerveza La Más Fina. Yeah, which is like fine beer.
Yeah.
Is what that means.
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
So
I've never read the course of the Corona bottle.
Too busy diving.
Yeah.
Right.
It's hard to read when it's upside
right?
down.
Yeah. I don't read Spanish upside down.
So bring Chief Pete in on this one,
yeah.
Since we had a plane crash at the airport,
mm-hmm.
which is something that fire crews don't respond to often in this area, at least in Lake Havasu City. I mean, you have mishaps, but this was a straight up, this was a plane fully engulfed.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate circumstance,
right.
A tragedy for the pilot and their family. Yeah, it's a low frequency. But high-risk incident. And the thing is, it's nice that the fire department's ready for that. I mean, that's why we have our crash truck out there. actually our crews actually saw that the plane was having some issues when they were at the station.
Was that on takeoff?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't have the full particulars of that. That's being investigated. But
sure.
At least our crew saw that they were having a little bit of issue and actually responded accordingly and got out there as soon as possible. So an unfortunate circumstance, you know, we prepare for these incidents too, but usually the outcome is not very good.
Yeah, a crash on takeoff is not often
have
favorable results.
Yeah.
Well, the theory was that, well, I mean, he had come from Needles and then landed in Havasu and took off a short time later, but the theory was because of the price of gas. That you saw they saw the price of fuel in Needles and said, hey, we can make it to Havasu, then fueled up and took off. So, I mean, a couple of pilots have told me that.
The
prices are way different. But, I mean, that being said, do you have problems with people going out taking, you know, there's so much video now. Everybody has a camera in their pocket.
Sure.
Is that something your guys have to be mindful of when they're out there?
The thing is, it's we're doing our job.
Yeah.
There's no mindful of this.
Keeping the scene.
Well, the thing is, I mean, the nice thing is the airport's secured. You know, I mean, obviously, if it went outside of the airport, then we'd have, obviously, other issues with that. But it stayed in the confines of the airport. People have the right to video, and we're going to do our job no matter what. So, especially when we go through probationary school and in the fire service, and I'm sure it's the same way for the police. I'm not going to speak for Dan, but you're always going to be watched, and there's always going to be critics that say, oh, did you do everything right? The thing is, we have highly trained individuals, professionals that are doing the job, and that's something that we're going to do, is to do our job.
And we've talked about equipment in the past, and how are the equipment purchase... How is the process of purchasing new equipment going?
It's going really well. It just takes time. We're finishing up our apparatus committee is finishing up their spec of our new engine. And it's, again, we've kind of talked about this before. It's not going to Bradley and picking a car off the lot. This is a specialized rig that, you know, we want to make sure that meets the needs of our community. And, again, we appreciate the support from council, the city manager, and the taxpayer for these gifts for allowing us to do our job. So we're finishing up that spec. I hope to be in front of the board by the end of this year to get approval for that purchase. That's in our budget. But the time that takes to build it is roughly about 13 to 17 months for this. So, and, you know, I think we're all experiencing those problems. We are also looking at our refurbishment of one of our engines. That's going out coming up this week to get a bid to refurb, and we're going to try that program to extend the life of our current assets. It's nice to report, too, that the engine that was involved in that mishap with the accident on 95, the repairs are almost completed. We should see it in, I always say, the famous 2 weeks. So, but we're making progress with that. But it's just having a plan. Just we have some outdated equipment, outdated the stuff that is going to need attention, and we're just going to plan for it through the budget process.
Where did the refurbishment bids come from? Is that Southern California,
no,
Phoenix, Vegas?
Basically, we're going to go out for a bid, and whoever's in the specialty for refurbing fire engines is going to bid on it. So we're just going to make it a competitive process that here's the specs, this is what we're looking for, here's the budget we have, we need to be within the budget, can you do this? And then what they'll do is submit and see if they can.
Jim, there's an industry for that.
Yeah, need to be doing that.
You should be doing that. Go from events to fire engine refurbishment.
No problem.
Right.
No
what
problem.
What about you, Chief? You have a new building that you're looking at, or building refurbishment that you're looking at soon. And what about patrol vehicles or that sort of thing?
We have four patrol vehicles that we're currently waiting on from last year's budget. That have been ordered and we're waiting on. And then we just recently went to council for four new cars for this budget. So we're kind of running into the same thing. Who knows how long that's going to take.
Is that because of the chip shortage? Or
just parts and demand. And
How long is it taking, or does it look like it'll take?
Potentially 8 months.
Really?
So part of because the police vehicles are a little different because it's a police package. So when, you know, Ford does a run, they do a run of police vehicles. And now when they do a run of police, say we use the Explorer. So when they do a run of those, basically those, now you've got every agency, and that's the most common patrol car being used. So there's a high demand for them, and so they churn them out as fast as they can. But you know, when you've got a Phoenix PD or one of these majors that's taking an order of, you know, 100, 150 cars, and we want four.
Yeah.
You know,
what sort of time did it take pre-COVID and all of this stuff? What would you have anticipated?
So part of pre-COVID, I mean, it usually be could be up to like a four-month process to get the car. Now, when we get the car, then it goes to an outfitter down in Phoenix, and they actually do our radios
and
light bars, rear cages and seating and all our equipment, our striping and everything ready to go into service. So then it comes here to our vehicle maintenance, and then they go over everything to make sure everything is to spec and acceptable. And then once they accept it, then they put it into the fleet, and then it comes to us.
Gee,
interesting.
So
yeah.
it's a process, but you know, I mean, gotta make sure it's done right. But right now, a big hang up is just getting the cars from Ford.
Same true with the fire department.
Yeah,
right?
Is that the same on big equipment?
Yeah, we're having the same delays. You know, it's just I think it has a combination of the supply, labor. There's a lot of things, a lot of factors, you know, especially with the increase in material.
Right.
But at least I went to Home Depot, the prices of lumber was going down a little bit, so.
That's good news.
So we talked a little bit about the Desert Bar season opening soon in October, and I expect the Bunker Bar is going to be around the same time.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Are there tips for off-roaders that you have, Chief, that may want to go out there and party a little too much? I mean, how do you enforce that?
So, number one, I would say tell anybody that whether you're in your Razor, Rhino, well, not Rhinos anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's very rarely do you see them, but Can-Ams and what have you. That the same principle is when you're driving your car. If you drive downtown to go to a bar, you're going to use a designated driver and have somebody that's not drinking. It's the same thing. You can still get a DUI. It's classified as a vehicle, and if you're in control or operating a vehicle in the state of Arizona under the influence, you can be arrested and charged for DUI.
You get the same DUI that you would on
exactly
on Highway 95.
Exactly, and plus, you know, when you've got friends and family in that UTV with you or off-roading, you don't have your full faculties and you crash and injure somebody. So use a designated driver. As far as the enforcement of it is, Game and Fish actually will, in different areas, Game and Fish will actually, monitor that. And, you know, obviously there's not a bunch of them out running around in the desert, but, for safety purposes, don't do it, but if you should get into an accident or you get into an area where you do get stopped by a police officer and you have been drinking, you're going to be subject to the exact same requirements or under DUI.
Interesting. It's a lot harder to hide the beer cans too, Jim.
Yeah, less space.
Yeah. We've had tragedies in this town.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of DUI involving UTVs. So you just got to be careful and exercise the exact same criteria you would as if you're driving downtown to go to a bar or if you're going to do any drinking. If you're going to drink, get somebody else to drive.
BLM rangers and such will cite too.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah,
they can. Yeah,
on
state
lands. Yeah.
Are they less likely to?
You know. No, they will get you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know exactly.
Yeah, you don't
what
want a federal ticket either.
Yeah. So I'm not super familiar with with what they'll do, but they're out there and they are law enforcement. You know, we've backed them up. They've backed us up on different things. So they're out there. Game and Fish is out there. So just be smart.
There you go. Words of warning from Chief Dan Doyle as the Desert Bar and the Bunker Bar set to open up here in the next couple of weeks. It's getting cooler.
Thanks to Black Cat X, huh?
No, of course not. Thanks to the owners of the Desert Bar and the Bunker Bar. But okay, Labor Day, a few weeks back, but nonetheless, we had a few OUI arrests, which
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me, but it kind of surprises me the number of DUIs and the number of OUIs. Had to explain to those people, I've had to explain several times, Chief, I know it's hard to believe, what an OUI is.
So OUI is basically operating under the influence. So it's in a watercraft. So it's the same criteria as in a vehicle. If you've been drinking and you're under the influence and impaired while you're operating that watercraft, you can get an OUI. That's really the only difference between OUI and DUI is one's on the water, one's
is
on the road.
Is it the same threshold?
Yeah.
So just from a personal perspective here, I sat on a jury one time, a six-person jury in Bullhead City, for a gentleman who was charged with an OUI. And when they did the field sobriety test, I believe they did it on the dock instead of the boat, mm-hmm. or vice versa. How does that work?
Yeah, so no, what we'll do is we'll take you off of the boat and get you to a place where we can give you field sobriety tests on land. I mean, we're not going to have you do a balancing test on a boat that's rocking.
But still, when you get off the boat, you still have your sea legs, right? And you're still kind of, I mean, it's different.
We'll give you a couple minutes.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
But, no, I mean, it's not just necessarily the balance. It's everything all wrapped up together, along with a blood test or breath test, whichever you submit to.
Even if the stop is made in the middle of the lake.
Yeah.
Or very far offshore.
Yeah, so we have our watercraft, we have the ability, we bring people in, we have an intox right available right off the water that we can bring somebody in and do a breath test on them. But, or we just bring them in to contact point or off and give them a field sobriety test.
Right.
We also have the portable breath testers that we can check them to.
Interesting. And then now you've got London Bridge Days coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Practically the whole month of October this year. And Chief Pete, are you guys on alert for, you know, heat related calls, things like that? Is there anything special that you're telling your paramedics as the London Bridge Days parade comes, and they have all these events around town for the 50th anniversary?
Yeah, I just it's not business as normal. It's just going to be a more influx of individuals coming to celebrate the 50th year of London Bridge, and we're just going to take it and plan for like we do any other events. You know, making sure that we're cautious of. We have our units making sure that our guys are hydrated. This really depending on the weather itself too, but it is going to be a very busy, busy October here, which is great for the city. But we just going to make sure that everybody has a great time, that is safe and is smart about celebrating the events that we have in the city.
Chief Doyle, does see something, say something kind of apply here too? Because there's going to be a lot of people in town. Is 911 necessarily the number to always call?
911 is for emergencies. So if it's something that we need somebody here right now, whether it's police, fire, what have you, 911 is the mechanism for that. You can always call. If you just want to get information to the police department, you have a number of avenues to do it. You can call the main line at 855-1171 and speak to somebody. You can go silent witness, which is 854-TIPS. You can go on the city website. And you can give a tip through TipSoft on the city website through the police department's portion of the page. So there's a lot of mechanisms to get information to the police department. But absolutely, and I've always told people this, I always hate when somebody tells me, well, I wasn't sure if we should call you because I didn't want to waste your time. I always tell people, if you are concerned about something or you see something suspicious, just call us. That's what we're here for. That's what we're paid to do. Call us, let us figure it out, and worst case scenario, if it turns out to be nothing, we can tell you, yep, we'll let you know it turned out to be nothing. It's not a big deal to us. Just call us, let us figure it out, but when it does turn out to be something, we're glad you called. So let us know anything suspicious or anything that concerns you. Don't ever hesitate to call us.
There you go, Jim, when that crime wave hits Crystal Beach. And you know who to call.
Uh-huh.
Right? 854-TIPS.
Well, Crystal Beach is in the Sheriff's Department.
Oh, that's true. See, you can't call Chief Doyle. No matter how good of friends you are.
That's right. Can't blame it on him.
Jim can call me, and I'll make arrangements for him.
Thank you. Special arrangements.
Yeah, special
Guys,
arrangements.
Always great to have you on the show. Our Dia de los Dos Jefes. Woo-hoo, I'm fluent now. All right, Chief Dan Doyle from the Police Department. Fire Chief Pete Palafis. Thanks so much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I'm going to put up money for a stakes wrestling match, arm wrestling match for you guys during London Bridge days. I'm thinking about it. Take my life savings, all $10.
Yeah. How'd you get that much?
I don't know. Working in radio, I had to save quite a bit. 50 cents a year. All right, back with more in a moment. Thanks, Chief. That was fun. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us.
Well, I try to fake it. I don't mind saying I just can't make it.
All right, we have about 10 seconds, so Hannity is up next, preceded by Fox News. Jim is coming in tomorrow because the Iceman cometh. He's going to be here.